Palmerston North. After the close of the camp meeting in Napier, we decided to visit Wellington, NZ, and also to spend a few days at Palmerston to labour for a little company of Sabbath keepers there who were pleading for help. I had now given 3 months of labour to New Zealand, travelling 2,500 miles by sea and land. Through this time, the Lord had strengthened me for labour. Although infirmities were still my companions by night and day, the Lord gave grace to bear them. Sometimes, when I felt unable to fill my appointments, I would say, "In faith, I will place myself before the people." And when I did this, strength was given me to rise above my infirmities and to bear the message the Lord had given me for the people. During this time, I gained in health and strength, for which I render praise and thanksgiving to God. Blessed be the Lord which hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is my strength, and he is the saving health of his anointed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Palmerston is about 5 hours' ride by train from Napier. For 2 or 3 hours after leaving Napier, we passed over rich farming country, dotted with small towns. Upon a few of these towns, some labour had been bestowed, and there were a few families of Sabbath keepers. Further on, the country was newer. It was quite level and heavily timbered, and the large fertile pastures, full of stumps and half-burned logs, reminded us of the newer portions of Michigan, Canada, and New York State. Palmerston North is a prosperous town of 6,000 inhabitants. It is a railroad centre, and the principal town in a large and fertile district. 4 years before our visit, a series of meetings was held here by Brother Hare, but the population had doubled since that time, and another continuous and persevering effort was called for. During our short visit, very little could be done except to encourage and counsel the small company of believers. Our labourers must learn at the foot of the cross the lessons to be communicated to the people. Thus will they bring sheaves to Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of Corinthians, Paul has given us instruction which every true believer needs to study. "We preach Christ crucified," he said, "unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This is a lesson of special consequence to every vineyard worker in the vineyard of the Lord. No solid results will follow the work of men who preach to please the ears of the people, while the truth is not held forth in a manner to bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ. The messenger of God must present eternal truths plainly, and keep clearly before the people their peril if they neglect these truths. Self must be kept out of sight, and Jesus must ever be lifted up and exalted. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many might, not many noble are called. For God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, Paul continues, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. The apostle feared lest he should stand in the wisdom of men, and not in the power of God. And thus his labor proved to be a work that yielded no harvest.
My speech and my wisdom, he says, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now Paul proceeds to explain this wisdom that the world has not seen, nor heard, nor known. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the spirit of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of the Spirit of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of man, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom speaketh, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have mind of Christ. Every one engaging in the work should have these words framed and hung in memory's hall. We are laborers together with God. Then there would not be so many failures in the efforts made to win souls to Jesus Christ. The people cannot be reached and their hearts broken except by God's divine power. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let ever man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he shall build thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as be fire. Those who seek wisdom in the study of the world's authors are not drinking from the pure fountain flowing from the throne of God. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that from another place be forsaken? Because my people have forgotten me, They have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble from their ways in the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Let the men who are engaged in the solemn work of bearing the last message to the world heed the exhortation of Paul. Preach the word, not the science of phrenology or the productions of human speculations. Listen to his solemn charge to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. These words are also addressed to the messengers in these last days who carry God's message to the people. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Especial heed should be given to the words of the apostle. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. The ministers of the gospel is never exhorted to strive to be a smart preacher, a popular speaker, but he is commanded, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Will every messenger of God give heed to these words? We're laborers together with God, and if those who accept the responsibility of holding forth the word of life to others do not daily yoke up with Christ and lift his burdens and learn of him day by day, it would be better for them to seek other employment. We can reach the people only through God. If the human agent is cooperating with divine intelligences, an efficiency and power will attend his labors, what will bring souls to a knowledge of the truth. We are to sow beside all waters, to seize every opportunity which presents itself to cast in the seeds of truth. Let every laborer, in whatever branch of the work he may be engaged, remember that he must wear the armor of Christ and marshal under his banner if he would meet the enemy wisely. Jesus is our captain and leader, and we are to obey his orders.